We're starting a new series this month. Hearing or listening? There's a huge difference. And the scripture makes a really big differentiation between hearing and listening. And Jesus himself said this in Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 15. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I'd heal them." Do you know that how you hear, whether you're just hearing words or whether you're actually listening, that your healing, your deliverance, your increase in the kingdom of God depends on how you hear, how you listen? It's an important, look at verse 19. He says, "And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then comes the wicked one." When you hear something and you don't understand it, you're opening the door to the devil to come on in, and he's going to take it, catch it away from your heart. And even though it was sown in your heart, it was planted in your heart received it. But he comes up in five different ways: persecution and affliction, lust of other things, all of those things that choke the word and get it to a place where he can take it out. Because there's one thing that he wants, there's one thing that disturbs him utterly, is the word of God. He hates the word of God because he has no defense in it. He hates the word of God because it is light and truth, and it exposes his lies and his deception. He hates the truth because it takes him off of the throne and puts you on it. That's what the word of God does. It elevates you. It strengthens you. It gives you a tenacity to hold on to things from the Lord and to reject the things of this world. Remember, the devil is the god of this world. And so when we get out into worldly things, worldly thinking, that's where the devil operates. And we are vulnerable to his deception. But with the word living big in our heart, you need to listen to it. The word is always speaking. It is alive. It is a living thing. And it is able to reproduce in you exactly what it is, and the word is God. I'm going to read something to you from this guy. Was back in the 1800s, and he was way ahead of his time, a guy named James Stalker. And what he said, just an observation, he said, "Christ is the new Adam. He's the last Adam, a new head of humanity, and those who are connected with him by faith become heirs of a double heritage of a precisely opposite kind. On the one hand, just as through our birth into the first Adam's line, we get inevitably entangled in guilt, like a child born into a family that was drowning in debt." Think of that. If you were like a child born into a family that was drowning in debt, you inherited something. But through our birth in the line of the last Adam, we get involved in a boundless heritage of merit, which is Christ's merit for us. It's his work. What he merited, we are now partakers of. Just through the new birth, we inherit so much. We're no longer drowning in debt, a debt that we couldn't pay. A debt that we were defenseless. We had no way we could pay the enormous amount of debt that we owed because of the sin that we inherited. It was a double stranglehold, and Jesus came in and pulled it away. A boundless heritage of merit, which Christ, as the head of his family, makes the common property of his members. This extinguishes our debt and our guilt, and makes us rich in Christ's own righteousness. By one man's disobedience we are made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. This guy was way ahead of his time. James Stalker. And this book is called The Life of St. Paul. I would get it. It's rich. And I refer to it a lot. It's this guy was a professor in Edinburgh, Scotland. And when he left this planet, we had a big loss. He was like the Charlie Kirk of his day, I'd say. He's an amazing, amazing guy. But look, the word is valuable. The word is that precious pearl, the pearl of great price. You need to treasure it. You need to honor it, rever it, reverence it. It's something to be, to partake of as an admired gift from the Father, given to you. And in that gift is everything else is settled. Your past is gone. You are now partakers of life. So what you hear can affect the rest of your life. What you hear can either prevent you or qualify you for your deliverance, your healing, whatever. Just what you hear and how you apply it. James 1:22 says, but be not hearer, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Every time you hear the word of God preached and you don't have your heart set to do it, you're setting yourself up for deception. You say, well, I'll do that tomorrow. You've never done anything tomorrow. Have you ever done anything tomorrow? And when tomorrow comes, it's like that yesterday's gone. You can't get it back. The opportunities sometimes are. But the word of God, if you say, yeah, and you start going in that direction, you heard the word listening. You attached your faith to that word, and it brought you somewhere, and you start walking in that direction, moving, thinking in that direction. Boy, that's everything, too. The renewal of the mind is a powerful thing. Our minds, by the way, Jesus died for our mind. Your mind is important. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Let's go there for a second. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a thief. Fear interferes with everything that you want to do in the Lord because it is a roadblock to faith. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what he has given us is power. That word is dunamis, by the way. He's given it to you. It's yours. You can operate in it. It's a gift. He has given it to you. He has given you power. Dunamis is where we get the word dynamite from. What is it? Self-energizing, explosive power. Jesus called it virtue. Well, that's what the King James said, he said, anyway. But he said, I just felt dunamis go out of me. It's a spiritual, it's not a physical explosion. Like a bomb or something, but it is a spiritual one. You can't feel it. It just solves your problems. But you got to walk into it. You got to walk in. You got to hear that word with a heart to say, I'm going to do that. I am going to lay hands on the sick. You should read that Mark chapter 16 in the morning before you go out. These signs shall follow me because I believe. These signs shall follow me because I believe in the name of Jesus. I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall, I'll speak with new tongues. I'll cast out devils. In fact, the first thing he says is cast out devils. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. You're equipped. You are fully furnished. He has given you power and he's given you love, agape. That's the love of God and a sound mind. Do you know what the Amplified Classic says on this? It's pretty powerful. Can we go there, Stephen? You know, the Greek words, we don't have enough words for the Greek. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven, cringing, and fawning fear. That's pretty descriptive, isn't it? Yes. I can't do that. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind, not an oppressed mind, not a depressed mind, not a mind that's out of line with God's will and word, a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Anything other than that is not the mind of Christ. It's not the mind. Any other thought that leads you in any other direction than this is not coming from God. It's either coming out of your memory from the past, or it's coming straight from the devil. And the devil, all he does is lie. Power and love and a calm and well-balanced mind and a disciplined and self-controlled mind. That's your mind. It's not the devil's. It's not the world's. They don't build their value system into you. No, that's your mind. It's your mind. God gave it to, and he died for that. He shed his blood to give you something. A sound mind. Love. Power and love and a sound mind. A calm, well-balanced, and disciplined mind. Isn't that wonderful? Incredible. You don't have to be oppressed. You don't have to be depressed. That's tough. No. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Shake it off. You need to know how to answer those thoughts. You need to know how to come. How do you do that? You listen to the instructions in the manual. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Okay. Look at this. Verse 1. God is identifying your number one enemy. And this clown is, he's, after this series, I hope you have so much more authority and are able to do so much more than you were ever able to do before, because you're going to be equipped. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said unto the woman, now a snake is talking. That's... man was made a speaking spirit, not the animals. I mean, that should have been a huge wake-up call right there. I mean, come on. This thing is, and in those days, serpents didn't crawl on the ground. They had legs. They still have this thing in them, but they stood like this, and they walked. It's almost like they walked like this. That's how it was. And he this subtle little demon, he was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God never said that. He didn't tell her not to touch it. He didn't tell her not to do that. He just said, don't eat of it. What she's doing is she's getting into a conversation with the devil. She's getting into a place where Jesus told the Pharisees, why do you reason in your hearts? Why are you? She's getting into reasoning, and she doesn't have any business doing that. God said something to her. Don't eat of the trees of the garden. You can eat every fruit of the trees of the garden except this one. Don't eat that fruit, otherwise you'll die. In the original Hebrew, it says, dying you shall die. It initiates a process. So she, in her mind, flipped out, and she starts saying more than God said. She didn't listen. She heard what God said, but she didn't listen. And what happens is she went beyond it, and the devil picked that up and started getting her into a reasoning thing. And you know what? If you listen to something long enough, you'll believe it. You can listen to the most bold-faced lies. You know what Hitler did? He would speak the most outlandish things, but he would do it over and over and over again, and the people finally accepted it. That was his philosophy. It's in Mein Kampf. It's in his book that he wrote. He wrote out his plan before he even did it. And they still voted him in office. When he was in power, he annexed Austria. Do you know what? He won Austria by a 90% vote. You talk about ignorance? You talk about the majority being right? Ask Joshua and Caleb if the majority is always right. We got to listen to God. We have to know how to answer this. And in order to do that, we need to listen. Not just hear, we need to listen. This is something my wife is working on with me, too. Oh, I see. Just full disclosure. Because I'm telling you something I can't, you know. Anyhow, don't be a hearer only. You know that word hearer only? You know what it is? It means auditor. Actually, that's what they used to term auditors, where you go to hear the word and you're just auditing it. You're auditing it to see which part agrees with you. They're not going there to let the word change them. And what happens is, in those days, they had what they call speakers that would go from town to town, and they would carry news because they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have anything like that. They didn't, no mass communication, no telephones, no electric, whatever. It was carried by mouth from city to city, and they had their favorite speakers, and everything. They'd go listen to them, but they weren't going to change them. Or let them take sides. What they were doing was they were going to audit it. So they would have something to say at the next party that made them look like they knew something. Pride. You got to get rid of that ugly stuff. Who cares what you know if it's not going to do you any good, any eternal good? You are an eternal spirit. And there's nothing in this world that an eternal spirit can be satisfied by. Can be fulfilled by. You got to know how to answer. When those symptoms come, you got to answer it. When you experience a need in your life and a lack, you need to know how to answer it. When there's opposition, you need to know what to answer. Answer. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 3. Let us therefore fear, that means have a reverential frame of mind about this word that he's speaking. Fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? They didn't attach their faith to that word. They didn't open their heart to that word. They didn't give it first place in their life. And what happened was it just floated on by. It did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For the gospel was preached as well unto them and unto us, but the word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. What rest is he talking about there? Well, the end of the last chapter talks about being led into the promised land and why they couldn't get in. Because of their unbelief, their willful stubbornness. I mean, they just saw God do like 10 massive signs and wonders that ripped them right out of Pharaoh's. He didn't have any more answers. Didn't have any more wisecracks. Didn't have any more edge. It just absolutely undid him. So he said, go, go, go. And his wife got him, and he changed his mind. And he, you know, Job's wife wasn't any prize either. But she wasn't. I mean, she said, curse God and die. And this one says, you know, some Pharaoh you are. Look at this. And he just lost his firstborn son. So he gets the armies together and goes after them. Not a big deal to God. Pillars of fire stopped them, opened up the sea, goes in. They saw all of this, and yet all they could do was murmur, complain, look back, and go back. They said, oh, for the leeks and garlics. The onions and the garlic of Egypt. They wanted that? You got to have help, you know, but would we be in the same condition? If we're out in the wilderness all of a sudden, and all we have known all our life is slavery, everything, but that's how you came into the kingdom of God. All you knew is slavery of sin. All you knew, you were really good at lying. You were really good at being oppressed and discouraged and depressed. You were really good at having no hope. You were really good at a lot of things. Because all of that was a product of who you were as a dead spirit. One who inherited a debt that you couldn't pay. One who inherited an eternity in hell if it had not been for Jesus. All of us. But what happened is we heard the word of God. We listened. And we said, that might be hope for us. That might be something we can hook into. You need to know that depression, that oppression, life of pride and everything in the past, that'll always come knocking at your door too, because you still have a flesh. And you need to know how to answer it. That doesn't belong to me anymore. I am His. He bought me. I have been privileged to be owned by God. That doesn't match up. Get out in the name of Jesus. That's all. You don't have to start saying, well, no, you see, that's kind of not in the Word and that I know of anyhow. Maybe it is. This is what Eve was saying. It's like, I don't really know how to deal with this because, you know, I never really put it in perspective when God said that. And, well, I don't know, what's up? And she opened herself to the devil. And it says she ate and she gave it to her husband who was with her. He was standing there the whole time and he didn't do anything about it. So these words were reaching him too. But like Jesus came and died, took our place at the cross, that's what Adam did to Eve. Because he could have not eaten, but he did. Because he couldn't stand her being that way without him. Well, then the eyes of them both were open, and it doesn't say they saw they were naked, they knew they were naked. They knew they had a new knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, and the knowledge of something that God didn't give them. Anyhow, let's go to let's go back to this. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not what? Everything God speaks to you is for your profit. Everything he suggests to you, quickening the word to you, however it comes to you. Maybe it's an intuition. Maybe it's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit plain speaking to you. Maybe it's something you see in the word and a revelation comes up. Whatever God sends you is all for your benefit, your profit. In fact, that word profit means a lot of things. To benefit you, to give you an advantage. When he says, answer this, when the Spirit of God emboldens you, say this, address this, say it this way, with this spirit of boldness. It gives you an advantage, it betters you, it causes you to prevail, and it profits you. But you need to act on it. You're the one who needs to step up. You know, how many of you know that Jesus had needs? What? He's the Son of God. Does he need anything? Yeah, he came to a fig tree one time. He was hungry. He needed food. Right? A storm hit his boat one time. He didn't need a bigger boat. Right? He needed to calm the storm, but he needed to know how to address that situation, how to speak to that situation. I keep on getting other things here too, so I want to go, but I want to finish this. The word of God didn't profit them because of their unbelief, because they never attached their faith to it. They never opened their heart to it. They never treasured it. They never valued it as something that would profit them when they needed it. You know, the time you spend in the Word now, if you spend time in the Word now, then that Word will be full and ready and pregnant with power when you need it. But if you don't spend any time in that Word, mulling over, meditating on that Word, and letting it release its power in your life, it's never going to be there when you need it. But that's not because God didn't give it to you. It's because you didn't listen. You didn't hear with your heart. You didn't hear with an open mind. You didn't hear it that way. Let us therefore fear or reverence these things as something that is a gift of a lifetime. That's why you need to look at the Word of God. Just, this is a gift of a lifetime. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. And the Word of God, when you open it that, when you open your heart to it that way, it has a pounding effect. Boom. Boom. And it starts to drive out fear, drive out oppression, drive out. It starts to reveal things to you of how you can overcome anything. What did the Apostle Paul said in Romans 6:14? For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, you're under grace. And the strength of sin is the law, he says in another place. You know, Oral Roberts said something too one time. He said it to Kenneth Copeland when Kenneth Copeland was his driver. And Oral Roberts got in the back seat and he sat down and Kenneth wasn't ready for it. He was thinking that God, he's going to tell him where to drive to. He said, Kenneth! He goes, what? Every hair in the back of his head stood up. Kenneth, do these three things and you will never fail. He said, one, find out the will of God. What's the will of God? The will of God is the Word of God. Find out the will of God. That's the first thing you do. Then the second thing you do is don't confer with flesh and blood any longer about it. Don't get their opinion. See, if you hear from God to do something, you have faith because you've heard from God. That faith has flooded your heart and you have a vision now and you can do it. But if you share it with somebody else to get their wisdom or their counsel, whatever, they didn't get the same word you did. They don't have any faith on it. And they'll give you every reason why you shouldn't do it. Well, you don't really have the resources. You really don't. I don't care if I have them or not. He does. If he told me to do it, I'm going to walk forward and I'm going to do it. What's the problem? You know, a lot of people, Christians, are going to stand before Jesus one day. And he said, and he starts reviewing their life. Now, this is not the seat of judgment. This is the seat of rewards. It's listed that way in the Bible. So it's not any condemnation, but he's going to say, how much time did you spend meditating and walking in my love? You have that record, Lord. I'm looking at it. That's why I'm asking you. You know, we have one commandment. He could say, you know, you had one job. Love each other as I have loved you. You had one job. You don't want to hear that from him. What you want to hear is well done. My good and faithful son, always choose love. Why? Because the word says that you need to listen to that. And anything that comes to you that tries to rip that out of you, you need to address it. You need to speak to it. You need to understand how to speak to these things. And this is all the traffic that's going on in our minds all day. Pressing needs, pressing things, your kids, your job. You know what, the AI, you know, and you see on TV all these spheres, Mars Islam is growing. Well, they just pulled the plug out of it. All yesterday, they pulled the plug out of it. Now, a lot of that, it's going to take a while for that to drain out. But look, you don't have to fear that. Because fear is not of God. It has torment. And if you have, and if you're walking in torment, you're always questioning God. God is not to be questioned. He's faithful. He'll do, but he's given you something to do. You need to walk in it. And when you begin to walk, remember the four lepers in 2 Kings 7? They're sitting in the gate of the city. Everybody's starving in the city, and they got an army out here, a massive army in front of them. And they're going, why are we sitting here? You know, I mean, look, we can go and join ourselves to that army, and at least we'll have some food or something. I mean, we're dead anyway. I mean, whether we go there or here, we're dead. If they kill us, fine, we're dead. And so, but here's, that came from God, that inspiration to do that. Because as they started walking, God started creating a sound in the ears of that army. And they heard a massive army coming their way. And they didn't know, and they just dropped everything and ran. And these four lepers came. What did they do? They heard, they were inspired to do something, they did it. And they just started walking. Is that so hard? To just walk and do what God said to do? Or is that something that, and by the way, it's nothing you can take credit for either. These guys couldn't take credit for defeating a massive army. But God, what happened is I believe that God just launched a whole army of angels against that army that was coming against his people, his covenant people, Israel. And these guys, he just needed somebody to step forward and start walking at them. And these guys sat down, man, they had ribs. They had everything. They had Rolex sundials. You know, they had everything they wanted. They had stuff. They were just fat and happy and enjoying themselves. Well, the thing is, when God tells you to do something, there is always profit to it. It's always reward. You always need to do the word. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Don't just audit it to give you something to say. When I read the Bible, I'm not doing it to put messages together. I'm doing it to change my life, to bring me profit in the kingdom of God. And you know what? That's what I share with you. You need to know that when that thought comes to you, like, I can't do that, address that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's all you got to say. Turn with me to Mark 11. And we're going to look at verse 12 and 14. 12 through 14. Ah, look at that. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered, what did he do? Did that tree have a mouth and lips and like it was talking? No, it didn't have to. It was saying something to him just by not having fruit. That's why you need to work on the fruit of the Spirit. Boy, if haply he might find there. Now, I haven't investigated this, but I have heard that, I think it was Andrew Womack shared this one time. When a fig tree in that area produces leaves, the figs come first. They start to form, and then the leaves come. So it should have had figs on it. So actually that tree was purporting to be something it wasn't. That's all I could say about that. I don't know. But where else was there a fig tree in the Bible? How about Genesis 3? Fig leaves? Ah! Jesus had been waiting 4,000 years to do this, to that fig tree. Oh, now he's going to undress that fig tree. Nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, in verse 20, and in the morning they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. It was dried up from the root. When Jesus spoke to it, he spoke to the root of that tree. Oh, this is real symbolic. He's getting to the root of humanity and a change that's come into this world. And he just walked away. And you know what happened? The word did the work for him. He didn't have a care about it, because he knew that whatsoever he said, believing, will come to pass. And he said in verse 23 too. But here's the thing. What is it? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. The next morning it was withered up from the root. Do you know how much power you have in your mouth and in your heart when you believe the word of God and you start to speak it into your situation? Address that need. Address that thought. Address that desire that's wrong, or that narrative that's wrong, or whatever. You see, I'm a great one. We'll turn on the news sometime and I'll start talking to these lunatics. Do you do that too? I mean, some of these guys, really, I mean, you know, the in Revelation it says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, and I hope somebody gets to these guys before that happens. But they're just such liars. And you know what? Again, who's the father of lies? The devil. So they're speaking the language of the devil. I'm not going to listen to it. Because you know why? If you listen to something long enough, you'll get to where you believe it. Even though you don't agree with it or anything, your believer will start to pick up on it. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Woo, glory to God. And Peter, calling to remember, said, Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. When you approach this word, this is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being a part of me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's power of salvation. It is his counsel guiding me. It is everything you need, fully equipped and furnished unto every good work. Just do this. Have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, are you a whosoever? Do you have to qualify for this? Is there a test you have to pass? Is there a diploma that you're lacking? Is there anything? Are you a whosoever? Whosoever shall say. You got to understand. You got to know how to say to these things. Don't argue. Don't get into reasoning. Don't start thinking, well, you know, you can think of 29 reasons why you shouldn't do what God has told you to do. You know, Andrew Womack said, there are a number of people that have come up to me over the years and said, I know God's calling me to go to Karis, but, you know, I just can't manage it right now. He said, well, did God tell you? And they said, yeah, I know it's God, but right now I have no money, I have no resources. He says, well, he would say, well, I guess God was just really wrong, I guess, right? He said, look, I'm telling you the truth. If God told you to do something, do it. Yeah. Number one is, when you know the will of God, do it. All right? Find out what the will of God is. Confer no longer with flesh and blood. That means you too. You can talk yourself out of anything. Right. You're your own worst enemy at these things too, sometimes. Or brother. Bucket mouth will come along, sister sandpaper, and they'll talk you out of it. They'd be glad to, because they want you down on their level. That's why a lot of people don't like the faith message, because they don't want to acclimate to it, and it makes them look bad. Sorry, but if that's the truth, it hurts sometimes, but let it open you up and do a job in you, and you'll be all right. I said, look, God told you, and you're not doing it? Just start walking like the lepers did. Just start walking. Start doing the word. Watch the supply come in. Watch the word happen. Watch it come to pass. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have it. Trouble with your kids. Trouble with your work. You know, AI. I was listening to this one interview. They were interviewing this AI expert. And he said, yeah, he says it's coming around that AI is going to replace probably 60 to 80% of the workforce or the jobs that we need people for. No, if you let it, that's going to put fear in you. So what am I going to do? And the devil says, yeah, what are you going to do? Do you think that AI is something that God can't navigate through or over or around or delete? You don't have to look any farther than the Word. The Word is my source. In fact, if you get fired, you just got a raise or promotion. Because you're in a place where you can do what God told you to do in the first place. Erase the memory banks of everything you put in there and just launch him. Let his word work in you. You'll know how to answer that situation. Say, nope, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, a calm mind, a peaceful mind filled with God's peace. So I can speak and release the peace that's in my heart and calm that fear, that storm, that threat, whatever it is coming my way. Now I'm equipped and I can address it and speak to it. And whatever I speak believing will come to pass. Just stand on it. Amen? Amen. Hearing or listening? Some thought came to me here too. I'll just say this before we just pray. But the objective to listening is to eliminate reasonings and speak and answer the enemy, speak and answer our thoughts, speak to answer our situations, speak to answer our finances, our marriage, speak to our future, speak to our faults, speak to our weaknesses. When they start coming up against us, speak to them. Release your faith in that. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you have released us from the debt that we had in Adam, and you have given us an abundance of wealth, of the righteousness of God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. We're going to go out into this week and we're going to speak the answers and we're going to address the problems that we need to. As they come, we'll just deal with them. Because we are quickened by your Spirit, empowered by your grace, and we are strong in you and in the power of your might. In Jesus' name.